Hey guys, it's Rob from Chump Change. I just want to apologize before this episode starts. The mic quality from my side, I had a few problems. We're all good now, but yeah, just sorry about that. Welcome to Chump Change. It's Sunday, the 30th September, 2018. Some time has passed since the last one, but we're just going to do a bit of catch-up on recent news, and I'm going to pass that over to you, Luke. You there?
Yeah, man. How's it going?
Good, good. And yourself?
Yeah, not bad. I just want us to tell everyone that we've almost hit 500 listens over the last couple of weeks, so
we have getting up there slowly. No, we've done it.
We've done it already? Oh, nice.
I'll tell you the exact figure now. So you can start, and if you want to start, I will find out the exact figure.
Yeah, right. So I want to say thank you to everyone for supporting us, and keep in touch with us via Twitter if you want to. So at our chump change, .com, it has Twitter, at our chump change. So I'll start this episode with some news. A big piece came out yesterday via Twitter. So CZ, the CEO of Binance, just tweeted out yesterday that a Binance decentralized exchange is going to be launched at the end of this year or maybe early next year, which will use BNB, the Binance token, as the native gas. So that means like all the transactions will go through the BNB token.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, this is huge news, actually. Binance currently is the largest exchange for cryptocurrencies. It's still pretty new. It's only like a year old, I think. I think when we started, Rob, we were using Bittrex, weren't we?
We were, which I've been looking at a little bit lately again. Don't really like it.
Yeah, I know. Binance just came out of nowhere and just listed almost every token available. And just Blue Bittrex and Poloniex and Kraken out of the water.
Well, I used Bittrex for a while, even though I had Binance. So I was using Binance as a kind of another sort of exchange to kind of separate concerns, as they say. And I was very like uncomfortable with Binance.
Yeah,
and was kind of staying faithful to Bittrex, but after just all this time going back to it, I'm thinking, what was I doing? It doesn't work most of the time. Like my cells, if I open a cell position, it doesn't show up.
On Bittrex, is it?
Yeah, so then I go in and then I'm like refreshing and making sure that everything is clicking around, going back, trying to do the same one. And then it tells me not enough balance, for example, for that. And then I'm like, okay, what's going on? And then all of a sudden it'll just be there. So I kind of don't trust it. I'm not saying to people out there don't use Bittrex or whatever. I'm just a lot more comfortable with Binance these days.
Yeah, and totally. Also, yeah, they've really
Kraken. Yeah, I've been using Kraken, and it's just not for me.
Yeah.
Like the leverage side of things is great, but it's just not for me. The way that you close positions and things like that it's just not user friendly.
Yeah, I think that's what Binance did. It made this platform user-friendly and just listed everything that people want to trade.
Exactly. Like, it's fine if you're investing sort of something long-term or whatever, but if you're opening positions to trade, you can be in that position when you want to get rid of or you want to buy, like, there and now. You don't want to have to think about it. You don't want to have to calculate anything. You just want to be able just to put in your position what you want to buy for, how much you want to spend, and then just put that position in. Whereas I find Kraken definitely doesn't do that, and I find Bittrex doesn't seem, or at least the user interface isn't as reliable enough just to execute those trades there and then.
I think I totally agree. Well, I haven't had those kind of problems per se, but I just find Binance just so much easier to use. And I think a lot of people do. So it's, in a way, it's kind of strange that they are now pushing their platform towards a decentralized exchange because they are the leading centralized exchange.
I think I think the worry is, okay, so have they mentioned anything to do with trade-in fees or anything like that?
No, not yet. No. Okay. But they, so, go on.
No, you kind of.
Yeah, so I was about to say that in a sense, they are actually kind of disrupting themselves. I think that the whole crypto space is waiting for a good decentralized exchange to come into play, where one company doesn't hold all of the tokens themselves. So right now, because so many people use Binance, they hold a lot of people's money, or Bitcoin or Ethereum or whatever. And that's still risky in a way, because you're trusting a third party to take care of it and like kind of and help you to trade it. Whereas a decentralized exchange, then Binance will not actually hold your funds. It'll be in your own personal wallet that's on the decentralized exchange. So I think that's really positive for the whole crypto space and for like a big company like Binance to push their own exchange in this direction.
Yeah. I completely agree. I think what's happening is they just know somebody else is going to do it for next, you know?
Oh, yeah, well, totally. But I mean, that's... So they actually, yeah, they definitely, it's going to happen eventually. So them taking the lead, so to speak, and you know, it disrupting themselves. Because, you know, I think, I can't see how it'll be more profitable for them. But I never know. I guess they know something we don't know, right?
Well, in the long run, it might be.
I suppose if the BNB token increases in value, I'm sure they own a ton of it. So.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So that's kind of, back to the ratings earlier, 501.
501, nice.
501 listens.
Who's that guy? I want to know who the 500 guy was.
if we could somehow track that, totally give
them
something.
That'd be amazing, yeah. And like I say, if you're listening to this, please give us a follow on Twitter. We do tweet frequently some advice or our ideas or opinions on the topic. So again, at our chump change.
Yeah, or even send it, you know, sling us an email at, what's it, Luke? Have you got it right this time?
Chumpchange@financer.com.
Yeah, cool. Not all right. Financier.
Not financier. Yeah. Can't read.
Chumpchange@financer.com.
Yeah.
So quite related in a sense to the Binance news that you just mentioned, is this Stellar X. I mentioned this to you in the week. Did you get a chance to look into it at all?
I looked into it, yeah.
Okay, so people that don't know, StellarX is this is how they peg themselves as their kind of their opening statement or their manifesto or whatever. A user-friendly peer-to-peer marketplace. We're free, fast, and list every asset class imaginable. Crypto, fiat, bonds, commodities, and more.
Whoa.
Okay, so they are claiming basically to do everything. I did look into the fiat side of things where they accept fiat. However, I think it requires a minimum of $1,000 deposit. But still great that they're doing that.
Yeah, right. And it's actually, I think that's what's really interesting is that they go in away from just crypto, so also commodities. That could draw in a totally new crowd, you know, and bring the more liquidity to the space. You know, a lot of people trade kind of oil shares or gold shares or...
Exactly. Yeah. But I also think it's a way to kind of hold out a hand for other, like you said, other investments that are not into crypto, that might start using this, knowing that it's free, fees are free. And then they might say, well, there's a lot of this. They can start in the corner of their eye, for example, that they're trading their gold, which fluctuates very, not as extreme as cryptocurrencies are. They can see on that same page that, okay, Bitcoin's up 60% or something, they're going to think, okay, maybe I should try investing in it, even if it's a small amount, and it's probably going to gain some movement in that sense.
Yeah, definitely. Any awareness building is really important now for our field, I think. And I think that, you know, that's, I think if you think back to a year ago, Binance didn't exist or just launched. The exchanges that are around were typically slow, not very trustworthy, hard to use. And then Binance came along and made things user-friendly and really, really easy to use. And now what's the next step? They got this kind of decentralized exchange from Binance and this new, what's it called? Free trade platform released by Stellar. It's really interesting. It's fascinating to see, you know, in a year what our trading is going to look like.
Exactly. Like, so in their kind of frequently asked questions, there is a question that says, is Stellar X a decentralized exchange? And the answer is nope. Stellar X doesn't have order books or its own trading system. Although Stellar X might feel a lot like a DEX because you're trading from your own wallet and all your auctions are settled on chain. Stellar X isn't an exchange of any kind.
Essentially what? Go on.
We're essentially a GUI, a really nice one for the publicly accessible Stellar trading environment. Stellar is so fast that it feels like we must be settling things ourselves, but we're not.
That's really cool.
Yeah. So I'm already signed up. I'm in.
You're in? When's it launched?
It's launched.
It has launched? No way.
It's launched. It's there.
No way. I didn't know that. Now.
All right. Yeah, wicked.
Put a link in Twitter for us, Rob, so we can all sign up.
I always say yes, and I never do it. Yeah, so I'm going to do it with this one.
We have a Binance code, which can give us a little bit of commission. If you want to use that too, it would be really nice.
What, for the Stellar X?
No, for Binance.
if you decide to use Binance, or you know, you don't want to deposit $1,000 to Stellar X, but you want to buy some Bitcoin, for example, and you do that through Coinbase, then use our Coinbase code because you get $10 worth and we get $10 worth. Everybody wins,
yeah.
So there's a couple of other sort of points on this frequently asked questions. Normally we wouldn't really spend this long on a topic, but I think it's worth it kind of going a bit more into. But it says, so they have a section that says, what's the relationship between Stellar and Stellar X? So... I think it's quite important. It says Stellar X is a third-party client built on top of Stellar's open marketplace. We are made and run by Interstellar, a new company formed to make building and operating on Stellar even easier. Interstellar is an independent commercial entity and not affiliated with Stellar Development Foundation. Okay, so that's probably quite good to know. It just mentions about what assets are available on Stellar X. And it says Stellar X is a transparent client for Stellar, so we let our users access any asset on our network. Among our tokens, you'll find tethers for off-chain assets like Bitcoin, Ethereum, Euros, Filipino pesos, and carbon credits. You'll find Stellar native coins like Mobius, and of course, you'll find network token Lumens. And then touching on the fees. The section says, how much does Stellar X cost? So, you know, they're basically stating that they're free, but this is how it works, for example. Stellar X is free. The Stellar network charges a fiat per transaction fee as an anti-spam measure, but the fee is so low, and it's 0.00001 XLM, and they actually refund it to you. So that we refund it out of pocket for every trade made on Stellar X. Network fee refunds are bundled into a single payment and issued each week. Okay. So if you hold funds in Stellar, you also get a pro rata airdrop each Tuesday. So okay. Every Tuesday they do an airdrop. Because they return all of the Stellar's built-in inflation of 1% APR directly to users via luminate.net. So all you have to do is opt in and they set this up for you. So basically they just handle inflation and they give you 1% APR every Tuesday.
That is really cool, isn't it? Wow.
So
amazing. Actually, this is I knew about this new platform, but I didn't know it was this comprehensive. This sounds really cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe we should give it a go for a whole week, and then next week we can give a review on how our week went using it.
Yeah, definitely. I'm going to be using it regardless, so I might as well report back with my findings.
Sure. Yeah. Awesome.
So I think if it's as good as it's saying it is, it's good, and it's great, and it's gonna open some doors, I think, for some people that generally invest in other kind of commodities or assets and might want to try their hand at crypto,
yeah.
Sort of, without having to learn a lot. They can just do it exactly the same way, but using a crypto asset instead of a metal
asset. Yeah, wicked. All right, shall we end this podcast by just going through our portfolios currently, Rob? Let everyone know what we're holding and how our investments are looking.
Yeah.
Get a bit personal. I don't think we've done this yet, actually. We should have done this before to kind of just to clarify what we hold and what we invest in.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you go first.
Yeah. All right. Well, currently, I'm not going to tell you how much I have, but currently all of my investments in crypto are in Bitcoin or USDT. So if you're not aware, USDT is USD Tether. Basically, it is a crypto asset which monitors the dollar, so it always stays around $1, give or take a couple of percent. I used to be very heavy into the platforms, which were like Cardano, Icon, Ethereum, but a few months ago, I switched out and put it all into Bitcoin because I felt that the market's going to drop off a lot. And Bitcoin's kind of the secure one. And I wanted to kind of solidify my Bitcoin holdings. So basically, I got 70% in Bitcoin, 30% in USDT, and I'm waiting for an opportunity to pick up some cheaper coins when the market kind of hits its low. I'm not convinced we've hit the low yet. I think it could go down a bit more. Coins I'm looking for, I want to buy Monero at under $100. And I want to pick up some Ethereum too, if it gets to around 100 as well. It's quite a big drop for Ethereum, but I think it could happen.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's basically it. What about you, Rob?
Yeah. So, for myself, I'm working on increasing my Bitcoin holdings. However, I'm not willing to give up my altcoins either, because I still think it's early days. So in terms of percentage-wise, I won't be able to give you the exact percentages because I don't know them off the top of my head, but I have quite a large stake in ADA, Cardano, which I still have faith in. So yeah, obviously Bitcoin, Crypto 20, which is like a tokenized crypto index fund. So what it does is it moves the investments around the top 20 coins, and it sort of spreads the percentages out to kind of the top performers, and every week or something it reevaluates and whatever. It was a good one. It's slow, but I think in time, if the market starts to turn and starts to a bull rally goes, I think it'll turn profit very well. So I'm still happy with that. Recently, as I've just been showing people in work how to use Coinbase, and ETC, so Ethereum Classic, is very cheap. I've just been running through the process just to show them how to buy it. So I've ended up with a couple of those.
Nice.
I think I'm just going to hold them. I don't care. I'm just going to keep them. I've also got some in Ethereum. Still have a bit in Golem.
Yeah, nice.
You have a Golem, Nick?
Yeah.
Still holding that. It's a very small amount, but
it was one of my very first investments, actually.
Yeah. For those of you who haven't listened to the previous ones, Luke and I basically got involved in all of this at the same time. We hold very throughout our sort of investment stages, we've held pretty much the same coins as each other. But I still get my golem. Like, the way I see things is, it's not enough for me to gain anything really by selling it at this stage, so I might as well just hold it and just see what happens. I've got a few in Litecoin, quite a big stake in Sia coin, which from a tech point of view, I believe in, and I really think will do really well. It just hasn't got the recognition it needs at the moment.
Yeah, not yet.
Finally, I have a large stake in Ripple, XRP. I say Ripple, it's not Ripple, it's XRP.
Which has done really well in the last couple of weeks.
So yeah, I think it's up about
300%, I think. It tripled in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah. So I'm holding. Got quite a few of them. So basically, that's my portfolio. However, that's my holding portfolio, I should say. However, I am trying to trade. I would say my original idea was daily. However, I'm either making the wrong types of trades sometimes, or the market is just not favoring it. I'd like to think it's the market at the moment. Well, currently in my sort of my trading portfolio, I'm doing a bit of an experiment by starting off with a small amount of Bitcoin, and I want to trade that up to one whole Bitcoin and then put it away and then do the same thing again and just kind of just repeat that pattern and just collect coins. And in there, I do actually have quite a lot at the moment with open trades. I have HOLO, which is the token for that is HOT. Quite a lot in that at the moment, because that's such a small, very small amount of Satoshis per coin. Any sort of movement is a large percentage gain or large percentage loss. I believe in it, and there's a lot of people backing it. So I think it's just only a matter of time before that kind of goes up. And when that goes up, it's not one that I'm going to be emotionally attached to, and I'm just going to take the profits and then be happy with the Bitcoin that I've gained from that. Other than that, I've got some, from the recent news, some BNB, so the Binance coin I bought in, and I'm kind of just waiting for my target of take profit, and I will take that then for my stacking of Bitcoin. So kind of different perspective of portfolios there, Luke.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, like, I should mention that I'm holding USDT in order to also increase my Bitcoin holdings in the future.
Yeah.
So because I'm a little bit pessimistic at the moment. I think the market's gonna take another heavy drop. So having USDT is probably the safest asset to hold, and will allow you to buy coins at a big discount if that happens.
Yeah. there is another coin as well called the USDC. Have you seen this?
There are a couple. They're called stable coins. There are a couple of them now. Yeah, there's USD True, USD Tether, USDC, and I think the Winklevoss brothers, who own Gemini Exchange, they have a stable coin as well.
Yeah, so the USDC, it's called Circle.
I heard about this actually. I didn't hear about it.
You can tokenize fiat currency into USDC. Yeah. And then transfer it to, compatible, like ERC-20.
So those are not aware, Circle's a pretty big company, which I believe has an exchange or some sort of platform which deals with a couple of cryptocurrencies, not many, but I think it has the big ones like Bitcoin, Ethereum, Litecoin, Bitcoin Cash.
Yeah. So what you can essentially do is, like, you can trade that coin around, or hold, or for example, and when you're ready to cash out, you can transfer USDC into the Circle account and then redeem it for fiat currency.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So that's
I think the Circle account also deals with a lot of stocks as well, traditional stocks.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. Well, should we wrap it up for today?
Yeah, we've actually gone over.
Our allocated time, but it's all right.
So,
all right, cool. If you like this podcast, please get in touch with us. Give us a thumbs up. So you can get in touch with us on Twitter at our Chump Change and email, Rob.
Chumpchange@financer.com. And as always, this is not financial advice. Do your own research, but we're just a couple of guys just having a chat. So do not take anything we say as financial advice, please.
Yes, please don't. Do your own.